Good afternoon. In Juneau, I'm Chloe Plesnack. You're listening to All Things Considered. Wrangell's Nolan Center hosted Blue Ticket on Monday. It's a film of a play with the same name that KTOO documented back in 2019. The play's author, Maureen Longworth, documented how gay men in Juneau were exiled from the city in the 1960s. KSTK's Colette Czarnecki spoke with Longworth about that time and the process of telling the story.
They estimate that about 100 guys were taken away from Juneau. And, you know, they were vibrant people in the community. Everything from teachers, hairdressers, retail sales, people who were outed or suspected, even if they weren't living a gay lifestyle, they complied. When the police came to their door and took them to the ferry, told them to pack a suitcase, they're leaving.
Your stories are based off of real life stories.
I'm a writer who really believes in bringing humor in. And so there's lots of laughter scenes in the film. And I also love romance, so the whole thing is centered around a romance. The genre, I would call it, is historical fiction. I just took all those stories and developed characters to be the voice of their story and to act out their story. The romance is fictional. It's all fictional, but it's all based on true stories.
Did you talk with anybody who was sent away?
I was only able to speak to someone who's still alive, but his partner was sent away. It was a teacher at the high school that the student voted him their favorite teacher every year. Lots of the people that were accessible to me to interview were in high school at the time in the 60s. And so they all had him as a teacher and just loved him. And not everyone knew that he was sent away. At our opening night, a group of people in the intermission were standing in the lobby and came up to me and said, "Who was the teacher?" And they actually gave me a name and said, "Was it that person?" And I said, "Yeah, that's who it was." And do you know, the whole group started weeping.
Did you get any police records from back then? Do you know if they exist on the disappearance of gay men?
One of the people who I interviewed was a parole officer, and she said every morning they gathered for a meeting and they would tell the names of the new people that were suspected homosexuals. And then they would decide who they were going to go take that night.
What was it like for you to hear about all these stories in Juneau?
Very moving, and which made it hard to write all the scenes. Because I mean, still, when I see some of the scenes, I'm just like, oh, I just can't stand it that this happened in my lifetime.
What inspired you to write this play?
I guess I felt like I had a treasure chest I was sitting on with all the stories. I started writing scripts when I was a kid. I have a reaction to political change by writing about it.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about Blue Ticket?
It's just so important that we all step up and be extra welcoming, because these are hard times for LGBTQ people.
That was Blue Ticket's author, Maureen Longworth, speaking about how many gay men in the 60s were forced to leave Juneau. Pregnancy and birth can be complicated, both emotionally and physically, and many Alaska Native people from rural areas give birth in cities far from their families and shared culture. But as Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, a group of Indigenous birth workers is trying to make the experience better by providing support and connection to traditional practices.
Rebecca Tegausinya Kalinyuk Villalon is comforting her 3-month-old son after feeding him. Yeah. Villalon is a Inupiaq from Utqiagvik, and she now lives in Anchorage with her husband, son, and 2-year-old daughter. She gave birth to both of her children in the city. She says she can't imagine what her births would have been like without her doula from the Alaska Native Birth Workers Community, or ANBC. That's a group of Indigenous midwives and doulas. They work with Alaska Native and Indigenous mothers during pregnancy, birth, and pregnancy loss. The collective's been around since 2017 and since then has provided free care to hundreds of mothers like Villalon. Villalon says the doula, Abra Nungasuk Pakkatuk, supported her throughout the pregnancy and birth of her daughter after 2 miscarriages.
Because I was having so much anxiety about potentially losing that pregnancy, it meant the world to me that she was there to support me through all of that prenatal experience.
Villalon says Pakkatuk joined her for healthcare appointments, she advocated for her, and Villalon says she loved that Pakkatuk, who is also a Inupiaq from Utqiagvik, shared traditions about pregnancy and birth.
While pregnant, you don't stand in the doorway. You either enter or you stay out. And reason being, it could delay labor or it can impact labor in some way. And so I would make it a point to either go in or go out.
Pakkatuk has worked as a doula for 14 years and co-founded ANBC.
A big part of our mission and vision and values are reclaiming our practices and reclaiming what's rightfully ours. And traditionally, we all had people that were there to support us throughout our pregnancy and birth, and even in preconception.
Margaret Gaidi Dalna Olin Hoffman David is another founder, and she's Koyakon Athabascan. David says one of the motivations for starting the collective was to support rural Alaska Native people. Mothers from rural communities often have to travel and stay in big cities during late stages of pregnancy, sometimes for months.
We were concerned just learning more about the Indigenous rural birth experience of being sent away from home, oftentimes being here alone, completely apart from their families and support systems and communities and foods and lands and waters.
Pakkatuk and David say support for mothers like this can look a lot of different ways. It can include helping set up birth plans or advocating for someone with medical providers, or it can be more nuanced emotional care. Pakkatuk says she's brought plants from the tundra when supporting someone from the Arctic to help it feel more like home. Another example is understanding body language.
Alaska Native people speak with their eyebrows and their noses and their face a lot, and healthcare providers might not understand that.
Pakkatuk says part of ANBC's long-term mission is to help all Alaska Native people access culturally relevant care close to home by growing the number of Indigenous birth workers. Research shows doulas improve birth outcomes, and so does culturally matched medical care.
Traditionally, every single community had either a midwife or someone who was knowledgeable about birth to support people. And now in Alaska, there's, as far as we know, there are only 2 practicing Alaska Native midwives, and that's not enough.
Villalon, the mother in Anchorage, says it was important to work with her doula, Pakkatuk, and have the safety of nearby hospitals.
I did not second guess myself in choosing to live and give birth here because of the resources that are available, because ANBC is here, because if I needed surgery, it is available here.
And she did end up needing that emergency care. After her second birth, she was rushed to a hospital where a gynecologist removed her placenta manually, and she had complications.
I lost a lot of blood, a significant amount of blood.
Pakkatuk stayed with her the whole time and updated her family.
It was so powerful for me to have that type of support to that extent, to that level, is just, it just gives me goosebumps. Like, I just feel so lucky, and just, I feel so special, and I feel so just grateful.
Villalon says working with Patkatuk helped her see her ancestors were with her, empowering her. And Patkatuk says ANBC birth workers aim to help all the mothers they work with feel connected, even when they're far from their ancestral home. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.